Welcome to another episode of The Doghouse on NTNRadio.com in the frigid. Who could be our sponsor of our studio? Let's think about it.
In frigidness?
No. Who could be the... I'm trying to think I was going to just make...
Oh, give a free sponsorship of the studio?
Yeah, to somebody. Let's see. Who do we make it?
Peak antifreeze.
To the Coca-Cola studios, the frigid Coca-Cola studios. Actually, they... we're paying them, though. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count. No, he's giving us to the frigid Travis Studios. He's the only person that's ever actually given us anything.
That is true.
Right. I mean, Travis listens. I mean, loaned us anything.
Yeah, right. But it is freezing cold out here, and we're preparing for a major snowstorm, supposedly.
Later this week.
Although, this is one thing I don't understand. I was watching all this weather stuff, right?
Because I love weather.
Right. So I watch all this weather stuff, and the key to our weather forecast is, you would think it'd be North American models, right? Computer models?
No,
it's the European models.
The Europeans are so much better with their models.
Why is that?
They start at a younger age.
the European models are, you know, they're more free and open.
Is that what it is?
I mean, you see the umbrella girls they get from MotoGP.
But I notice I'm reading all this stuff, and they're all talking about the European models because they're more accurate. It's like, didn't we kind of invent this stuff? Can't we fix it?
You got to follow through.
Apparently, NOAA is not worth it.
Apparently not.
All that money we spend, it's like NASA. What are we going to do? We're going to throw stuff into space. What are we going to find? Nothing. Well, because if there was something there, they wouldn't call it space. You know what I mean? There's nothing there. Stop spending money. We got these people predicting the weather. We have to wait till the British do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's great.
Maybe because you're 5 hours ahead.
It's great because you know what? This is actually sponsored by the local grocery stores. Are you aware of that?
They gave us nothing. Well, I'll tell you what. I did see
not
a couple
the show.
Sites.
Not the show. I'm talking about the weather.
Oh, yeah. Bread, milk.
Because it doesn't matter. We could get no snow at all, and the grocery stores around here will make a mint this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bread, milk, and toilet paper.
Oh, they'll sell out of everything.
You have no idea how lucky the city of Winchester is that I didn't win Powerball. Because I would have got up this morning, called you guys, and I ain't coming into the show, and I'd have bought up every milk, bread, and eggs in the city of Winchester just to be that guy. I'd have caused riots. It would have been hysterical.
Would you put them, Phil?
I'd have thrown them out.
Okay,
I am that big of a jerk.
Hey, I got $1 billion. I'll do it.
There you go.
You don't ever want to see me with a lot of money.
All right. Well, anyway, so that's what we got going on this week. We got a major storm coming in this week, we think. At least that's what the predictions are. And
anywhere between 3 and 35 inches.
Yeah.
So pick a number.
For my neighborhood, they have actually said possibly 4 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, 36. No,
48.
48
I'm up to 48. They're talking 40 to 48 inches in some of the models where I live.
Well, right, before we start actually comparing our sizes, okay, in the studio here.
it's the only time I'm going to beat anybody on inches. That's it.
So let's actually get back to the matters at hand. So anybody got anything interesting to talk about before we head out to our first break?
No. Well,
Warren, did you get naked and ride your motorcycle in the cold weather again?
No, but I did take the army bike and, you know, do my winter prep and put it under the cover for the winter.
Well, shut it down. Did you play taps?
No.
Oh, wow. God, you should
I just retreated.
You just retreated? You call it, what do they call it?
It's called retreat.
They call it retreat. That's what they call it.
Sound retreat?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock.
Did you not watch F Troop?
Sound retreat. There you go. Sound retreat. Okay.
I learned everything I know about the military from F Troop.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. I didn't do anything with the blue bike because I'm hoping I can ride it again sometime. To, you know, just slip a day in here or there. But bike is up for the winter.
So Tuesday on the way into the studio, they were salting the roads because last Tuesday night we had a dusting and it got a little ice. Like after Travis's mom's wake,
mm-hmm. It did get
a little
slick.
When I got out of there, it was actually icing on me, and it was a little slick. I almost thought about taking the long way and not crossing
the mountain. It was a little slick when I was.
But then
home.
I was like, I have insurance. but so I saw all that, and I figured that pretty much would be the end of riding for most guys. They start putting the salt down and sand.
Yeah, because I ran through a bunch
stand
of
by road. They
I
rock
was
it.
Actually surprised how much stuff they put down on the roads when I came home last Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it was. I go out west on a highway for about 25 miles, And it was actually getting slippery at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And then I crossed this long, boring road that's a 45 zone, but it has like a lot of fields. And where the wind was blowing, it was like really slippery and like drifting.
Yeah.
So there were actually a couple times I had the truck in four-wheel drive going home last Tuesday night.
I wouldn't admit that.
You know, you got to, or else. It wasn't so much that the snow was deep.
You didn't do it for the snow. You did it to exercise the four-wheel drive.
That is actually true. Well, what it was is I was driving in it, and it iced up and blew the truck sideways. So I just put it in four-wheel drive so that when I blew the truck sideways, it made more of a mess.
I didn't have any problem with the road. The only problem I had with sliding around was with all the sand that was on the road. I was sliding in the sand. Anyway, all right, we get back on the other side of this break. What are we going to talk about, Warren?
Ducati, BMW, and Triumph.
Ducati, BMW, and Triumph. That's like a Carnac question, right? Ducati, Triumph, and what was the other one?
BMW.
And BMW. We'll have the answer when you get on the other side of this break.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. Welcome back. If you didn't leave,
they only had like a minuscule off.
It's fun.
Okay.
If you left in that
period. We had more time off than they did. That's for sure.
So did you figure out the relationship between Ducati, Triumph, and BMW?
All bikes with more power than you can handle.
No, that's
Ducati,
not true.
Ducati, Triumph, and BMW. Okay. Ducati's owned by Audi. BMW's owned by BMW, and Triumph's owned by Triumph. So, no.
No,
British,
you're right.
British, German, Italian.
It's a trifecta.
All of them lost World War II.
I think
Maybe Britain won, but they were so beat up, you might as well say they lost.
We won for them. They lost before we got there.
Well, no, what it really has to do is Ducati set some sales records. BMW set some sell records.
I did not see that.
And Triumph returned to profitability. That was a big thing.
Recession coming. If Indian made money, we're all screwed.
Well, I hadn't seen Indian sales yet, but they had to be improved over the last year because they actually have more dealers and produce more bikes.
Yeah.
So they definitely improved. I just don't know how much.
Yeah. Indian's definitely profitable because they're owned by Polaris, so I guarantee they're
profitable. Well, Polaris was profitable, not necessarily Indian, but I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Well, Ducati posted a record sales for 2015, and they built 58,800 motorcycles and sold that all over the world.
Can that many bikes come in eighth place?
A 22% sales growth over 2014.
And probably a lot of that's attributable to the Scrambler, I'll bet.
Yes, it is. 16,000 of the 58,000 were Scramblers.
Yeah.
So by far and wide away, the Scrambler is their best bike. In fact, the Scrambler is the first bike to put Ducati, if you remember, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I gave the top 10 best-selling motorcycles for last year.
Right.
Ducati, for the first time, made that top 10 because of the Scrambler.
It's a sweet bike.
It is.
It's sweet.
I wish I could go out and ride one, but I've just never got around to it. Not only do they post their best ever sales figures, but it also managed to get, as you said, they got into the global top 10 bikes. The 54,800 bikes sold during 2015 set a record by delivering 9,600 more bikes to customers than they did in 2014. So, 10,000 bikes more than they did last year, which was a pretty good dealing for a company that's like...
Percentage-wise, that's huge, right?
But I would have thought Ducati sold more than 58,000 motorcycles, and 58,000 is a record.
I wouldn't have thought that. No, I wouldn't have thought. Ducati's never been a big manufacturer.
No, but 58,000. I was thinking closer to 100,000.
I know. Hey, you're spoiled by like the numbers that
Harley's it's not, budget.
Or Honda.
Harley numbers. Does. Well, Harley's just on the street books. I have a street bike. They do over 200,000 a year.
Right.
And yeah. Honda does, if you do all their motorcycles.
It's ridiculous.
It's like a million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I thought Ducati would have done more than 58,000.
No, 58,000 is a big number.
It's a big number for a relatively small company.
Right, yeah.
And then they got this quote from Claudio Domenicali, the CEO of Ducati Motor Holdings. Now, I probably butchered his name completely.
Wait, does he say, Bacci da boob?
Apparently,
The record sales of 2015 are the result of the company's courage and skill. Ducati closes 2015 with a record volume and a substantial growth. During this year, not only Ducati launched successful new motorcycles, but a brand new brand, the Ducati Scrambler. I didn't realize it was a brand, which immediately won global acclaim.
Remember, it's like the difference between season and series here in the U.S. and the U.K. Listen, right.
This segment's worth it just for his accent. Yeah. I'm not sure what that. It was like an Irish guy
doing Scots, doing an Italian.
I don't even know what that was.
I don't either.
A hillbilly Irish guy. What was
that? As close as I can get.
Scitalian neck.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that was awesome, Warren. We actually need that voice more.
Thank you very much.
Ducati's a small little company, and that doesn't shock me. And but so what was the thing about Triumph? Did I miss that?
Well, I haven't got to it yet. Oh, they got a little bit more information about the Ducatis. They did their best improvements in Europe. They saw a 53% increase in Italy.
That's kind of shocking.
I thought it was myself. I figured it'd be, they sold half again as many bikes.
Did Aprilia downsize?
Aprilia never sold many bikes. They've never had. They're not.
I've never seen their numbers. You only see one every couple years.
They're teeny compared to Ducati.
I'm just trying to figure out why all of a sudden Ducati would have such a growth.
I think probably the Scrambler.
Yeah. Because if you took 16,000 bikes out of Ducati's sales numbers, it wouldn't be that great. But they had a 32% increase in the UK, 25% in Germany, and another 22% in France. So in Europe, they did exceedingly well. They didn't have breakouts of the U.S. numbers, but I've seen more Ducatis on the street in the last couple of years than I did for years before that. So yeah, I think they're doing pretty well over here as well.
That's true, but I have not seen a single Ducati Scrambler on the streets.
I have not either.
Which surprises the
crap out of me.
Right.
Especially because I know a lot of like hardcore Ducati guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any of them on the Scrambler.
But then again, I haven't seen a Panigale either. So
they don't. I don't think they sell very many of those.
I haven't seen a woman that was ugly enough to marry me. So hey,
that doesn't mean they're
drunk enough.
That doesn't mean they don't exist.
That's right. It's like dinosaurs.
Well, like you said, the Scrambler was the number one seller. Number two was the Maristrada 1200, and followed by, which I thought would have been the second place myself because I see more of these, is the Monster 821.
Yeah, you definitely see more of them.
Yeah. I don't know, but they it said 8,000 of the 1200s and 6,500 of the Monsters were sold worldwide.
Ducati just needs to write a big check to who was it, Chaz Davies?
Well,
right?
Also, Ducati's been making a big push. They've been making a big push on the adventure touring bikes too.
Yeah.
They
turned one of the Maristrada 1200s into an adventure touring bike.
Yep, exactly.
It hasn't got great reviews though.
I've seen mixed reviews on it, but they're making a big push in that area, which actually kind of surprised me, but. That seems to be one of the areas in motorcycle development that's getting a lot of attention in recent years. I mean, it used to be Kawasaki and BMW were the only people that were actually really exploiting that market. Now a lot of people are getting much more involved.
You're not going to believe this, but Buell also was in there for a while too. They sold quite a few of the Ulysses.
Right, that's true.
So I don't know if they ever competed in numbers wise against the others, but you do still see a couple of Ulysses around.
I don't think they competed in numbers in anything. So,
and we have an update on EBR here in a little bit.
Another one.
Hopefully, this might be the next to last one.
I hope it's the last one
because I think there's going to be at least one more after this.
Okay.
All right, and you asked about Triumph, Phil.
Yes, sir.
They have actually returned to profitability.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 2015, Triumph announced a profit of $3.3 million.
That's not a very big profitability, but...
It is after you pay all your executives their big salaries and still have money left over at the end.
Yeah, that's true. That just means their executives got to restructure their contracts because they didn't get enough bonus.
Exactly. Yeah, well, they're still not out of the hole because last year they had an $11.5 million loss for 2014. So yeah,
but
yeah,
that's probably already off the books.
They clawed a little bit back. Well, but still, a hole is a hole. You know, don't count money like Congress does.
Yeah.
Triumph sold marginally more motorcycles than the previous year. They had 53,800 compared to 53,200. So they were, you know, they're not far off the number.
So the 600 bucks, somebody got raped on.
Yeah,
apparently. 600 bikes. Were they cold? Like, oh, hey, we're losing. I could just see New Year's Eve. There's like four people in a Ducati dealership, and they're like, guys, like, yeah, I want to buy a bike. And they're like, yeah, hey, that one there yesterday, you could have bought for 16 grand, but today is 3.2 mil.
Yeah, congratulations. You know, here, a lot of times these bike sales numbers are very misleading because a company can return to profitability without selling one more bike.
Yeah, you get rid of overhead some way or another.
That's right. You lower your expenses. Suddenly you're profitable and you didn't sell anything more.
Recycle the toilet paper.
Triumph returned to profitability because they sold six bikes more. You know,
well, 600. You know, that's a big difference.
600 is not so much, but not in the motorcycle sales world.
Well, it's almost as much as Ducati sold. If you remember, Ducati sold 58,000, and then Triumph sold this year 53,000, almost 54,000.
You're saying Triumph sold almost as many as Ducati?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I'm saying it was only a 600 bike difference.
See, I didn't think Triumph was that big.
They're not.
No, but I mean, like, I thought they'd be smaller than, way smaller than Ducati, is what I was.
But that was what I was getting at, too. I knew Triumph was selling a lot, but I didn't think it was anywhere close to Ducati. Triumphs are cool.
Actually, I seen lots
of Bonnevilles.
Going to say, a lot of
Speed triples.
I do see a lot of
Triumphs. I see
more Triumphs than BMW, I mean, than Ducatis.
Yeah.
Well, and probably because 85% of Triumph sales are to overseas markets.
Yeah.
So they don't sell a lot of them in Britain.
Wonder why that is.
Huh?
I wonder why that is.
Because the British know they're junk. They remember the Triumph cars. The TR8, the TR5, the TR for like...
I wanted the TR7. But
actually, see? those are nice pushers.
Actually, the Triumph motorcycles are pretty nice.
Yeah, no, yeah. They are. So.
They're not bad at all. They get some good reviews. Mm-hmm. Got some bad reviews as well. But their CEO or whoever's putting the announcement says the coming year will see a launch of an unprecedented number of exciting new models across the entire company's range.
An unprecedented number? What, two?
So that they've, we got
they've
four
never
models
they've
this
never
year.
Introduced more than one new model, so two would be
unprecedented.
Yeah,
unprecedented.
So maybe they're going to have their version of a scrambler,
or that means there's going to be less because what I've learned the last 4 years, maybe 8 years. Is that most people in the world don't know what the word unprecedented means.
That's right, exactly. They could have released a new model every year and then this year do zero and say it's an unprecedented
number.
They'll
be like, it's the same amount as last year. That's unprecedented.
That's unprecedented.
You know, inconceivable.
Yeah.
So we got to work on the our vocabulary there. And then BMW, you know, one of the big weights in the motorcycle world, they had a sales record as well. So it was a good year for a lot of European bikes.
BMW set sales records all through the bad economy. Have you known that? They grew in motorcycle sales all the way through the recession.
Yeah,
they're the only motorcycle manufacturer that did that all the way through the recession.
Well, when you
buy
a BMW,
it comes with an iron cross now and a copy of Mein Kampf.
Well, they sold... Personally, I think they skew their numbers because of what I'm going to say. So I don't know how they actually compare with what we talked about with Ducati and Triumph, for example. But BMW's sales record was 136,963 bikes and maxi scooters.
Okay.
Which is an increase of 10% from 2014.
So they sold more scooters, what you're thinking.
Well, I don't know. They may have. They may not have. But just... So it's not. I don't think that BMW has a true apples to apples comparison.
Yeah,
here.
I think if people write you a check, it counts just the same.
Yeah, I kind of go with that.
Yeah.
Well, not well.
If you offer something and people buy it, that doesn't really matter whether or not somebody might consider that to be a true motorcycle or not.
Wait, does Ducati make a scooter? I don't think so.
No, I don't.
Does Triumph make one? Not that I've ever seen.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I know there'll be a lot of people that listen to the show that are going to be like, I can't believe you do that. But, I mean, it's still, quote, a bike. It's a scooter.
It's got two wheels and people are
paying
for it. You know, listen.
I didn't get a chance to do any empirical, background on this, but I did read an article months and months ago where if you counted scooters alone, a couple manufacturers out of China and Korea would be making more
Kymco.
It would be making more bikes than Harley.
Yeah, Kymco,
and maybe even the Royal Enfield.
Yeah, Kymco. Mm-hmm. Kymco makes tons and tons of scooters and stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but it is Kymco.
I didn't say don't count them.
If somebody's giving you the green stuff for them,
right? Well, then it's not green it's not green in China.
Oh, red stuff.
Juan.
No, that's Mexico.
No, that's pesos.
Whatever, China, Mexico.
Tacos or something like that.
Now, BMW's big seller is still the Boxers, which actually surprised me. 53% of that sales are for Boxer motorcycles.
I'm not surprised by that.
Really?
Why are you surprised by that? I don't understand. That's their bread and butter.
Yeah, but they for years have been trying to move over to more of the inline stuff. They just haven't been selling them that well.
Again, that's their bread and butter, right?
Bread and
the
butter.
Boxer stuff. So anything that's got a Boxer motor in it is going to be what people think of when they think of BMW. If I want an inline motor, I'm thinking probably it's coming from someplace far, far east. Like the Orient, right?
Like from Japan.
Like Japan, right.
Well, their best seller, and this should surprise no one, is the R1200 series. So the GS, right. RS, all that. It is the best-selling bike they have. So out of the European market, we got some good stuff coming out from growth-wise. You're talking about the recession being broken. If it really is, Ducati, Triumph, and BMW, all three are doing well. So that says a lot about what's going on.
Well,
in the motorcycle world.
It does, except I've been reading articles lately about a global recession, so I'm not quite sure
if it's going to continue.
That means people are selling their cars and buying bikes.
That's right. Yeah, it could be a sign people can't afford it. But of course, I don't know what are the dropping fuel prices have to do with motorcycle sales, because that should hurt.
I don't know. That's actually really good. I mean. It was $18 a barrel for a little while this week.
I know.
Yeah. Which at $18 a barrel, they should actually pay you to put it in your car.
There was a gas station in Michigan. No, in more
47
than one,
cents.
Yeah, 47 cents.
I went and I looked. Mm-hmm. And when I started driving, gas was like 99 cents. The cheapest I've ever paid was 40 mm-hmm. cents a gallon. I could have got it for 20 if I had been smarter that day.
Mm-hmm.
But $18 a barrel probably today would still be around, 79 cents. So 47 had to be some kind of sale.
Well, it was. It had a price war going on.
Yeah,
we need more of those.
We do.
Because the price of the gasoline around here really hasn't dropped that much.
I don't know.
It was under $1.50.
I remember in the old days when they would put the gas price signs were literally, like paper signs that people would put up. I remember when there were price wars going on, and
you watch the guy go up and down the ladder?
Right, yeah. They go up and down the ladder, and they're lowering their price on either side of the street there because they're trying to do that. We haven't had that in years. Well, they had a bit of that going on in Michigan this week.
We need it here.
What they found out in Michigan is you can just take the water from Flint and burn it right in your motor. So gas was free there. They weren't even buying it by the barrel. They were just opening the spigot.
For people listening to this, they got a lot of pollution
in the
river.
That's not true, because not if your vehicle runs on unleaded.
got a lot of lead in the water.
A lot of that stuff. I've drank booze and Coca-Cola, and it wasn't that dark.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We're going to come back here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about a semi-icon in the motorcycle world died this past week.
A semi-icon.
Well,
I know where you're going with this. I already had a talk with one of my cousins about
you
this.
You crapped on him. What is a semi-icon? That's like an insult, isn't it?
Well, it's like the doghouse.
If you're not most famous for something, you're semi-famous for something else.
We're semi-icons. That's how we're going to bill ourselves, the doghouse. The semi-icons of the motorcycle.
All right, come on back, folks. Okay, when we talked about having a semi-icon, and I got a rash of crap.
Well, since we're talking about that, apparently Phil's getting a semi-snowstorm this
week. Yeah, they just downgraded me to, like, nothing. That's a win for me. 5 inches of snow's a win.
He went from 40 inches to five.
It's like my sex life.
I was like,
sorry,
I was going to jump right at you. Took that one preemptively.
I meet on Tinder. Now I know how it feels.
Oh, yeah, you yanked. I was just getting ready to jump on that one, and you went, you know, took it out of my mouth.
Sorry.
All right, so Dan Haggerty, and the reason I called him a semi-icon in the motorcycle world is because most people are going to know him for his TV career, and, you know, biggest one being Grizzly Adams and the three or four TV movies that the Grizzly Adams series spun off.
I was going to say, the biggest one being Grizzly Adams? How about the only one being Grizzly Adams?
Well, he had a couple small shows as well, but they didn't go anywhere.
Can you name one?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Like I said, but, you know.
The Return of Grizzly Adams?
Yeah, that's right.
Grizzly Adams Shaves.
That's right.
Part two.
So, but he died earlier this week after complications from cancer, from what I read. Didn't get into specifics.
Isn't cancer a complication all in itself?
It is to me, but you know how people write things.
Complications of cancer.
So what's the over-under? And we'll make the doghouse bet now. What's the over-under on 4 or 5 original from the movie Captain America bikes show up in auctions this year?
Right, exactly.
Out of his garage.
Out of his garage, how many do you... I'm saying there's going to be 6 original movie bikes come out in auction this year.
I think I'm going to go with one.
One, Ken?
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with 2.
Okay, well, I will mark that down in the notes. In January of next year, we will see.
They're going to find the
Captain America.
The one that was stolen off the lot from the movie lot is going to be in his garage. It's going to be the original.
Okay.
I don't know.
He has a son that's like as scuzzy as Paul Newman's?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve McQueen's.
Steve McQueen's. He'll sell everything that he owns.
Sells everything he owns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he was on American Pickers not all that long ago, Dan Haggerty.
Oh,
Selling off some of his motorcycle memorabilia, and they didn't go into his garage, so we don't know what's there.
He probably won't let anybody in his garage because you know what's in there?
A stolen motorcycle. nothing.
And the reason we're talking about this, just for those who don't know, he was in the 1969 Easy Rider movie as an uncredited cast member, but he's also part of the crew and supposedly helped build out and maintain the different motorcycles that were on Easy Rider, the Captain America. In particular.
Right. And he supposedly got the parts of one of them, right?
Yes.
And reconstructed it and then claimed that he had the original.
Yeah.
Although it got
a couple times
much
supposedly.
Run over by a pickup.
Yes,
the frame
that's right.
Doesn't make it nothing. I mean,
well, you remember there was 2 of them. You had the one for the beauty shots and then one for the wreck. Well,
there was 2.
Well, yes, there was. Yeah. There was proof there was 2, but one of them blew up at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So that one is everybody pretty much agrees that bike was a total loss. That leaves one bike, and that's what all the fighting's been because all these other people claim they have the one bike.
One heart.
Now, he was also in a lot of other motorcycle movies from the 70s all the way up to relatively recently. How about Angels Die Hard in 1970? Ken probably saw that one.
You know, it actually sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. I think I've watched it.
Yeah. And if you didn't see that one, maybe Bury Me an Angel in 71.
B-E-A-R?
Yes. B-U, yeah. Bury.
Oh, boo. I got to boo you on
got
that
me
one.
On that
actually
you
took me a minute,
It's Grizzly Adams. Come on, guys.
It's Grizzly Adams. Yeah. Like, how come? Here's one of the great travesties in the motorcycle industry. Right, I'm glad you guys
show?
Brought that up.
This show?
No, where's semi-icon, damn it.
That's right.
How come Grizzly Adams never got a guest role on Scums of Anarchy? I just hate the ending of that show, the last 3 episodes, so much.
Because
it would have been a good idea.
Because people were having a hard enough time taking that show seriously.
But if Grizzly Adams had shown up, I'd have done Fish. If Grizzly Adams and Punch and John had shown up on Scums of Anarchy, I would have done fist pumps. And I would have put up with Jax's the ending. I probably would have tolerated that to see Ponch, John, and Grizzly Adams.
Well, I think John's dead.
Bring him back. It's television.
Well,
okay.
Then they got some other movies. Chrome and Hot Leather.
I actually have seen
Chrome and Hot Leather.
You've seen that one.
Now, this one, I saw this and I thought of Phil immediately. Pink Angels, a transvestite motorcycle game invades Los Angeles. I don't know why, but I thought of Phil immediately.
And so the first thing that came to mind was Grizzly Adams to them, huh?
Well, he was in it. 1972. In 73, he was in Hex, another motorcycle.
He did hang out with a bear all the time. Fuzzy Bear.
So you have to, this is your way of making fun of the dead? Is that what
you're doing? No, I'm just listening to his film credits.
Again, we hear your way every week.
It's the film credits. I'm giving you his film credits. Super Chick in 1973. Sleazy Rider in 73.
Sleazy Rider. Wait, why have I never seen that?
Wait. So he made a move into porn, is what you're saying.
I didn't look this one up, but it was called Sleazy Rider. You can take it for what you want.
We will watch that before next week's show.
Yep. He was in Chips, the TV show, in 1979. Which, what happened to that movie? I thought it was going to be out
right
now.
I was thinking that the other day myself.
Yeah, good point. It's supposed to be by now.
Yeah. In 2004, he was in Motocross Kids, which I didn't see.
After Sleazy Rider, I'm not sure I'd put a guy in a movie called Kit with Kids in the title.
Really, yeah.
And in 2013, he was in Dead in Five Heartbeats, which is another motorcycle movie. So he was in a lot of different motorcycle movies over several decades. So semi-icon. Iconic TV star, supposedly, and semi-icon in
perhaps
the motorcycle.
Even less semi-iconic than us.
No, actually,
if that's even possible.
Ken, until we're in a movie called Sleazy Rider, I don't think we're anywhere near his class.
Well, so Sleazy Radio Show don't count?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Was that 1973 Sleazy Rider?
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Phil was found it,
it wasn't porn,
it's,
was it?
No, it's porn.
Is it?
Oh, it sounds like it, yeah.
It's a triple X classic in 1973.
Oh. Wow. So, well, he got a credit for it.
I'm telling you what.
Which explains why Grizzly Adams was in it if it was in the 70s. Yeah. Come on. Him and Chewbacca.
I got a whole new level of respect for him now.
You know what? He is now an icon.
You moved him up a notch.
You cannot call him a semi-icon anymore.
Move him up a notch. Wow. Oh, here goes my microphone.
Hey, pick that
up. What are you doing?
I don't know.
His microphone just like fell out of front of
the doing like some sort of microphone in my crotch deal.
He broke it. What did you do?
I don't know. It just all of a sudden it started dropping. Now it's... There we go. It's stuck.
He's having performance issues.
I guess he was disappointed over Sleazy Rider.
This is why it's sad we don't have video
anymore. There it
anymore.
Goes.
Nobody ever watched
the microphone is attacking him.
It literally is.
Okay.
I might have to hold it here, so...
There you go.
There you go. Do that.
Or play with it during the break.
Right. Hey. Not in this studio. Not in front of us.
Hey, you want to do Sleazy... You want to be iconic, we got to do Sleazy Radio.
That's right.
Sleazy Rider.
All right, we're moving on here. We're going to talk a little bit about motorcycle safety tech. A lot of stuff we got, you guys have heard of. Anti-lock brakes to help you not, you know, fall down when you're braking hard.
They don't help you stop. They
just help you not fall down.
Anti-lock brakes come out and they like put spikes into the
ground.
Right,
they're like trike wheels.
But okay.
Clutches to...
slipper crutches. Hey, in case your guts gets
to keep you up when you're downshifting too hard.
I love that. It's like nothing so funny as seeing...
I would like a drink of water. Maybe that'll help.
Is seeing an old person, you know, fall down when they're on their crutches. Oh, we switched out your crutches for the slipper crutches.
I actually kind of do enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Ride-by-wire to get more throttle control, traction and stability control to keep your wheels spin and help keep your wheelies in line. Airbags have just started coming out for motorcycles, mostly in your jackets. I don't know how fast that's going to come out now that Alpine Stars and Dionysa's having a lawsuit about who has the patent for it.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you hadn't heard that one?
No.
No, that's bigger news than any of those.
But I will say something. I think the results in the racing world from the air, what's it called? Air vest?
Yeah, there's a couple different names.
Yeah, I think it's been sort of mixed because there were a couple times in there where they said that the person's thing inflated, and I didn't see it watching the races. No.
I don't think it inflates that much. If you remember, five or six years ago, in the video, I saw the video.
I
was listening to this podcast.
You could tell. You could tell
in
the video.
Yeah, it was like you have a set of wings pop out behind
you. Yes,
I was listening to this podcast that I was actually supposed to be participating in called the Doghouse.
Right.
And we had talked about one that only bulked up like an inch.
Yeah.
Right. You know, well, that one's more.
I know which one you're talking about. That one's more geared towards the public at large.
Yeah.
Versus the ones, the racers, which got really big.
Yeah, and they got. I mean, the ones that they were supposed to have in there, they were noticeable, and they said they went off, and I didn't even notice it on the screen. So I question whether it's actually working as well as they think.
We won't probably until this patent suit is over.
Until someone comes off a motorcycle and looks like the Michelin Man, I'm not buying it.
You know? That'd be awesome.
Well, the German company Bosch, I'm sure you've heard of them.
I own a Volkswagen. That's pretty much most of that car is made out of Bosch.
They were the ones that pioneered ABS and stability control. It was bringing something new to motorcycles, dubbed the world's first assistance system for motorcycles. The device uses 4 ultrasonic sensors to monitor their surroundings to help riders change lanes safely.
What did you say that was? An assistant system?
An assistant system for motorsacles.
It's a system of assistance for the assistance system.
Ken never makes a mistake.
So in other words, it helps you make sure there's nothing passing.
It's so much more fun making fun of other people.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it to him real hard.
Like you guys never do.
No, I never make fun of anybody.
No, you never do, Phil.
Yeah. Whenever there's a vehicle in the rider's blind spot, this new technology warns them by way of an optical signal close to the mirror so they can examine and avoid the collision when changing lanes. So just like you have in your car, you're going to get the little flashy light that says, somebody's there, don't go.
Somebody's there.
Yeah. So the sensors.
I hate those things.
You do?
I do. I'd rather have something that, it's some of the newer cars now, they act as something where you can't change into the lane. It stops you from actually being able to do that.
I'd burn that car.
You better get used to it.
How do you drive without running somebody out of the lane?
Well, you better get used to it because it's coming for everybody.
No, I will always have classics then because I will wreck people. I'll hit them just for being there. Sorry.
Whenever there's a vehicle in the rider's blind spot, the technology warns you. This obviously is very similar to what you see in cars that are out there now. Bosch thinks it's probably more warranted for bikes because you only have 2 mirrors and you're wearing a helmet if you're smart. You're wearing a helmet that does kind of limit your peripheral vision somewhat. Even nice ones still do that. Yeah, I got that new, it's not new anymore. I had the Nolan, and it's got a huge front viewport, but every now and then I still notice that I can't see parts without turning my head.
Right.
The rear sensors monitor your blind spot in the neighboring lane to detect stuff on the left and right side. The 2 front sensors provide a plausibility check. In front of the left sensor detects an object before the rear sensor does. It doesn't alert, so they work in conjunction to make sure it tells you the right information. It won't give you any alerts if it doesn't meet certain criteria. Vehicles that are working into the parking lanes and so forth aren't going to register. Only if the rear ultrasonic sensors registers an object before the front sensors do will the system issue a warning. So
it would only work if the vehicle in the other lane's coming up on you. If you're approaching a vehicle in that lane there, it won't pick it up?
No, because I guess the idea is you see
you said it's got to pick up the rear sensor. It's got to pick it up first.
But the reason it's doing that is because if you're looking forward, you should see there's a car in the lane that you're getting ready to pull into.
Not necessarily, because if you're pulling, you're going forward and you're passing.
What if you're doing a wheelie? Right, you're looking up in the sky.
Yeah, a jet flies by, and suddenly you got something hitting.
Or there's a blonde and with big boobies in the other lane.
If you're coming up and a vehicle comes into that lane, it may hit the front sensor first. Correct.
If it's this is to prevent you from moving in. It doesn't really stop the other cars.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but it'd be cool if it did.
I would agree. Right. But the idea is that you should be able to see that.
Let's say maybe not. If you're looking straight ahead and a vehicle comes into the lane to your right, let's say, okay, and it comes into that lane and it triggers your front sensor first and then the second sensor, it won't alert you at all.
Not according to this.
Right, so if you were getting ready to go into that lane, you would have no warning at all.
Other than you should be able to see it.
Not necessarily.
Well, I would hope you'd be able to see it.
No, because like I said, it's moving into that lane and you're powering ahead. Now you're ahead of that vehicle.
But now it's behind you.
Yeah, but your front sensor hit it first.
That's why I always, when I do lane changes,
you got to look.
Right before I do it, I throw a handful of rocks into the lane. That backs everybody up. Or you get a doll that looks like a baby and you just throw it out of your jacket.
Yeah.
And it like hit bounces off the cars.
That was probably actually, that one actually is pretty good.
Yeah, everybody behind you stops. You're good.
Yeah, another great thing you can do is you get like a hammer, you know, one of those hammers that are tied to a long string and you drag that behind you. It bounces back and forth from lane to lane. Nobody wants to get anywhere near you.
You know, throw your beer. You know, you bounce your beer off a guy's windshield. They don't like that.
Yeah. Right.
One of the other negatives, other than what Ken just pointed out, which you know may not be accurate, is that it's only effective from speeds 15 to 50 miles per hour.
Oh, so when you get up to 56 miles
so
an hour,
it's done dangerous. Functioning? Screw you.
Yeah.
So it just cuts off at 56 miles an hour.
Yep. So, or below 15.
That's cool. So it'll warn you at 16 miles an hour, but it won't warn you at 56.
Nope, not yet. So they're still working on it.
Oh, okay. Maybe the technology can't keep up with the speed or something. That just seems...
Well, it does for cars.
Just nobody drives 55 miles an hour anymore on highways. Nobody.
Not really.
Even the slow people don't do 55 anymore.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right, we're going to go to break so I can kind of fix this microphone because it's...
No, nobody really cares.
I don't really
I do.
Care. They don't care. You sound the same whether you're holding it or not.
Yeah. No
so,
one cares.
Phil, when we come back, we're going to talk about racing?
No, I was going to put Sleazy Rider up on the big screen between the breaks. And we're going to talk
about it. We can talk about it as a police.
We're going to talk
about
it.
I can't believe that's Grizzly Adams.
Was it really Grizzly Adams or was it a stand-in chick double? That's what we have to learn.
I imagine it was probably a double.
Here on the Doghouse on ntnradio.com.
Are we going to get anything out of you in this segment, or are you going to sit over there and watch Sleazy Riders?
Sleazy Riders, solid. If you get the chance to watch it, you should.
Something about watching some dead guy screw a bear just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, well, you know, but
well, he wasn't
I'll put
dead
it up on
time.
A big screen. You'll be surprised.
But he's dead now. I know he's dead.
Now? He
doesn't
wasn't
matter.
Then.
Doesn't matter. Still dead.
I don't know. I mean, one of the guys that tried screwing a bear in a recent movie is going to win an Academy Award for it. You know, so I mean, hey, let's, you know, whatever. Bada bing, bada bang, bada fuko. So this week we had some motocross. But before we get into motocross, I want to talk a tidbit about arena cross, which unfortunately I didn't watch because it slipped my mind. But we fumbled because last year we said, fumbled.
Yeah.
Last year, we said when arena cross is in Baltimore, we should all go.
Yeah, we did
say
that.
Arena cross was in Baltimore.
Did we?
Yeah, they were in Baltimore.
Dang.
Well, they did a great job of getting the word out.
Yeah.
Thank you, arena cross, for getting the word out. I never even looked at their schedule because for some reason, to me, arena cross doesn't start till March.
It starts at the same time Supercross does.
I knew arena cross was on because I actually deleted the recording. So,
but they were in Baltimore, so we did a hell of a job going.
Yeah,
it would have been nice.
I didn't. Yeah, I guess.
Ken doesn't like arena cross.
I'm not an arena cross fan. We only talked about it because
Ricky Carmichael and Diana Dahlgren would have been there.
Oh, okay. Ricky Carmichael's everywhere. Who cares?
Ricky Carmichael is like the all-time Supercross.
He's everywhere.
There's a dirt bike.
That's why
around.
They call him the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Yeah. But apparently, and somebody messaged me about this, and they said, "Did you see the fight that happened at arena cross?" In Baltimore, and I was like, oh. I was there, but I was getting a beer.
It was Baltimore. There were no guns involved. Who cares? Right.
I'm like, is it really a fight in Baltimore if no CVS burns?
That's right.
You know. But apparently they did have a little bit of Weston Pike-isms there.
Oh, yes?
But I don't know how that's being handled. I got to look into that a little bit. Like I said, I dropped the ball. I totally punted on Supercross because I just wasn't thinking.
You mean arena cross?
I mean arena cross. So I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. That's kind of my fault.
Are they coming back this year?
I don't know. I'm going to have to actually look at the schedule because I actually have no idea what their schedule is.
Because at the end of last season, they sent out a tweet that said, give us some recommendations for arenas we should go to. And I sent in, you know, our local D.C. arena, Verizon Center.
Why would you want us to drive there? I'd rather drive to Baltimore.
I would rather go to D.C. than Baltimore.
Oh, I don't know.
Big time.
I don't know.
Ken would rather go to D.C. because
well,
it's closer.
First of all, where was it in Baltimore? Was it at the Raven Stadium?
No. Arena Cross was, where was it? Royal Farms Arena, which is right there across, that's right down there on the harbor front. It's that building. It's,
who
I don't know that one.
No, I went to some racing in there. They do the indoor racing, the car racing there.
Is it pretty decent size?
Yeah. They used to have a basketball team playing there.
Well, that doesn't mean it has to be very big. Okay.
Yeah. Indoor soccer,
It's
smaller than the Verizon Center, but not much smaller.
Wow, the Verizon Center is pretty small inside. I mean, once you get down to below
this place had enough room that Arena Cross probably would have been really fun. And if the guy had screwed up, he probably would have jumped into our seat.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's just okay with me. I mean, I actually like that place for a venue. It's got a lot of good seats and stuff. I've gone to a couple things there, so you know, I kind of like it. But so they were there, and I totally missed the point. I missed the event, and that's my fault. I apologize to you guys because last year,
Actually deleted it, so I apologize to you guys.
Well, I still think I have it on DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Can you delete it before you watch it so that the rest of us don't feel bad?
Right, yes. Can you
it's about my feelings.
Oh, and just in case anyone cares, my microphone is staying in the right place right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Ken fixed it.
They don't care, I know. But
no one cares. No one cares. Then Supercross was on the other side of the planet. They were in San Diego.
Yes, they had to make that long trip from Anaheim.
Yeah, they did. And then they got to go back to Anaheim and then back to San Diego. And they're going to go to Oakland. Ooh.
Well, that's a long haul.
That's a pretty long trip there, yeah. I'm probably going to move. But what is that, 500 miles, I think?
Is it really 500?
From San Diego to Oakland?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's about 500 miles, yeah.
I guess so. I never really think about it. So they were there. One thing that came out.
But Weston Pike wasn't.
Well, no, he was.
He was. He didn't race. He was there, though?
He came out, and he spoke. he came out, and he spoke, and he said, Freezy's a jerk, and I got screwed. I got jumped by my own kind or something like that. No, he came out and said that, you know, he took it a little far and stuff like that. But he was actually there signing autographs and stuff, which I thought was good.
Did he smack any of the fans?
If I was him, I'd have beat up some kid. Just any kid that walked by in a Freezy jersey would have got a butt whooping. Yeah. Just to make YouTube. And they talked about how they did sit down Freezy, and Freezy's on probation for the rest of the season.
Probation.
Mm-hmm. He got a talking to. From the looks of everything going on, I think everybody got a talking to. There was a lot less rough riding this week than last week.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Okay.
They were still aggressive, but there was a lot less rough riding.
Mm-hmm.
More guys actually made it through the first turn. Nobody was kicking each other over and stuff. And the passes, while they were aggressive, they weren't like T-boning guys.
And the ones who did run off in the first turn because of the at the start.
It's just the lack of talent.
Yeah. Well, that plus it was a really sharp turn.
It was a really sharp turn, and it was in the 250s, especially because you had them coming for very wide, and you had two top riders on the outside.
Yeah, I could not figure out. Did they chose to go in those spots?
No.
I thought they did.
No, Cooper Webb did not choose to be where he was. Cooper Webb had a bad incident occur.
Yes.
During his heat race, and that's where he ended up.
Oh, you're talking about in the final, yeah.
Yeah.
He ended up way on the outside.
That's I agree with that on the final. But I was talking about in the heats. He was.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but well, before we get to that, I just want to talk that. Friday, announcement came out that Ken's favorite racer, Bubba Stewart, was going to be out running.
Ken's favorite racer.
But then he went through practice, and after the second practice session said he just wasn't comfortable.
Now, when you saw the hit last week, it looked kind of hard, but didn't look like it knocked him out hard, which it did. But then I posted on Facebook, did you guys see his swing? James's swing arm and
that
huge
dent. No, but I did see you posted Malcolm's swing arm.
Yeah, yeah. I fixed it.
I'm like, I didn't even see Malcolm Race. What the hell happened to him?
But that
here I am Googling where Malcolm dent. Stewart raced.
That was a huge dent. So if you want to see, you know, where Dungy ran into Mr. Stewart, mm-hmm. You can take a look at our Facebook page.
We'll call him Ken Stewart, just so that
Ken Stewart.
We don't forget that he's Ken's favorite rider.
There you go.
So then 250s. I like San Diego. I like the track there. I thought it was a good track.
Good track. Known as being a track that's very, it's got a lot of air in the track.
Yes. Okay?
It's not a real solid pack track.
And but a lot of rocks.
It was kind of
a lot of rocks, a lot of
airspace
in it.
It looks sticky.
It's got its moments, but it does, the track changes very quickly.
Yes, that is true.
But, you know, I think it's a good track. One of the things I like is I like tracks that are a little bit moister.
Yeah.
Where they're not as dry, you know, and they, when
well,
they
then
to
you would
have
liked last week's, right?
Exactly.
Bikes are falling all over the place on that one.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, because generally a track that's got a little bit more moisture in it, it will tend to pack down and the soil stays together better.
And you get grip.
So, and you ride more on top than in the soil, okay? So when you have these big knobby tires, you really want to have a pretty solid surface. Otherwise, you're picking up so much of the surface all the time that you're tearing the track up and you get a really sloppy mess towards the end. So it shouldn't be that way. This week, you had the exact opposite situation where you should have the track teared up a lot more. The track held up much better.
Yeah,
didn't see very many ruts, and the ones that did appear disappeared when the lines
track
changed.
The track held up really well, and it's not a track that's known for that. It's a track that's actually known for changing dramatically during
the
course.
Maybe they imported the dirt from somewhere else.
I don't know.
They're pretty.
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much what it is, and I don't know what it is, if it was a preparation thing, if they mixed more moisture into the when they laid it down. I don't know.
I think they said it rained a lot that week.
That's
for Anaheim.
That is true.
I think they said San Diego.
No, they did. They said they had some rain. They did say they had some rain. You're right.
You know, in the 250s, Cooper Webb's fast. Cooper Webb's fast.
It's not just Cooper Webb's fast. Cooper Webb's a phenom. He was in. We always talk about in Supercross how important getting the whole shot is.
Yeah.
We say it's everything.
Yeah.
No, apparently not for Cooper Webb.
No, not if it's for Cooper Webb, because he's fast.
Cooper Webb came back from 14th to win.
Yeah, he was like in 14th place after the whole shot, and there's literally no way that I can think of that he should have been able to make up that big of a distance. And he's just scary. And I look at that right now, and I got to think.
Go undefeated.
He could go undefeated.
At the same time, I was also kind of questioning a few of his passes. He went by some of them so fast.
Oh, he's very aggressive.
It didn't look like they were on the same kind of button. It looked like he was on a 450 and they were on 250.
I think he's just. I think Cooper Webb's just outrageously aggressive and.
I agree with you. I think it looked that way.
And I think he's. But it's just really, really weird that he was able to make up that much
time, that much distance. Passing, it wasn't like he was passing slouches. I mean,
no.
And they were talking about that's why the East is so packed this year, because nobody wanted to race Cooper Webb. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But now after the first two races, I'm going, I probably would have put my ass in the East too, because that guy's fast.
Yeah.
Savacci, who last year we started liking him towards the end of the season, saying he was an up-and-coming guy, had a great race, but damn it, Cooper Webb's fast.
Well, I think that's the problem. I think Cooper Webb steals all the headlines, and even though these guys that are doing really well, like Savacci.
And Smith and Craig, who have come out of almost nowhere.
Right, that's true.
I mean, and hats off to them. Osborne, he's just got bad luck. He's got to learn.
Osborne does have bad luck. He led the race for a while, and then he decided, I guess, he was going to just...
He was like, I'm going to sit down and take a break.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know
what
happened to him. He just got... Well, I did, you know, it's just, I'll wait till we talk about the 450s and Barcia.
I have an announcement on Barcia from last night. And then Dakotas was another guy who I kind of am expecting to do well, but I don't see anybody beating, Webb right now.
I don't see it either.
I'm not sure Webb could beat Webb right now.
I would have, after watching this performance.
He did last year.
It was just such a dominating performance. It was like, it doesn't really matter. I can reel the field in. And that just doesn't happen in Supercross.
Yeah,
it
especially
doesn't
in 250s.
No. It doesn't happen in the 450s. Not when you're in 14th place. You don't come back from 14th to win races in Supercross. It's just there aren't that many opportunities. It's tough. Supercross is very, very tough to pass.
Yes. Then we get to the 450s. And Dungy just looks like a machine again.
Dungy Yeah, Dungy.
And he looks fast, too. Because
Dungy looks strong, but there's a lot more, I would say, reasonable competition there.
I don't know. I can't believe how disappointing Ken Roczen is to me so far.
He's had some problems. Okay, yeah. He's had some problems. Number one,
he got off the KTM.
But he's having problems staying on the bike too.
Last week he got ran off the track and almost ran over.
Right. You're a champ that everybody thought was going to be the next coming of Ryan Villopoto.
That's true.
You should be able to stay on the bike and roughhouse people.
Yeah.
Chad Reed, you got a 70-year-old man getting a podium spot.
He gets older every week.
I tell you what, I think Chad Reed actually...
He looked good.
He looked good.
That's how it works. You do kind of get older every week. But
by decades at a time.
Chad Reed, actually, he's been impressive in both these races.
He has, because he's not an indoor guy.
No, he's not
a supercross guy.
Well, these were outdoor races anyways, he's not a supercross guy. And I make the same mistake, Phil. We just talked about the outdoor season when, in fact, half the indoor season is outdoors.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he's looking strong. I think the reason is, number one, he's back on the Yamaha, and he's happy. And he's kind of like, he's almost a free spirit. People have low expectations.
He's probably got a whole lot less work than the last couple of years running his own team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's like, oh, my God, this is so easy. When you do something that's really hard.
All I
got to
do is go train and ride.
Right. Train and ride. Cole Seeley and Tomac. I kind of am expecting Tomac more out of Tomac.
Yeah. I was going to say Tomac's sort of not having the greatest start either.
No. He's not either.
And I don't know if it's the bike.
Trey Kinnard's still not injured, so it's kind of a weird season.
And he actually did well and then faded off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Barcia. Barcia, I just got a press release last night, and then I also saw on a couple websites, ARN and stuff, that Barcia's getting thumb surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, because that's what we were wondering why he faded last week.
Because he's fat and out of shape. But his thumb's injured.
Which
is a really good reason to wait for motocross season to start.
Right. Well, I think it's a smart thing. He ain't going to come in better than 11th the way he's riding.
Right.
He might as well get the surgery and start blow off this season and hope to be back for motocross.
I'm sure it's what it is. Plus, it might have something to do with the fact that he doesn't do so well in supercross.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing what he's doing.
I want to talk about one more thing real quick before we do that. How about the disappointment with Marvin Musquin?
Yeah.
You know?
14th 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, he was ninth this week.
He's
top 10, yes.
Whoopee!
He moves up then, because
I think Marvin Musquin's been... Everybody thought Marvin Musquin was going to be a contender. He was going to be one of the top five guys, and he had, a 14th and a 9th, right?
I don't know if I agree with... I don't think... I mean, to me, the top three guys were going to be Dungy, Roczen, who doesn't believe me, and Tomac.
Right.
And I don't think I would have put... I wouldn't have put Musquin in my top five. I probably would have done...
Who?
Seeley and Barcia.
I would have Seeley, but I would have gone Musquin over Barcia any day.
And I might have
Supercross.
And I honestly probably would have been Pike before I would have done Musquin. It's his first year.
Not enough people to wail on.
You're a bad person. So we'll see next week. They're probably in Anaheim or San Diego again or something. I don't remember.
Outdoors.
They'll be somewhere outdoors riding around going fast.